Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL look-ahead lines, and I am looking at the giant current line for every game the rest of the season, and I'm right. As of right now, they are underdogs in every single game they have the rest of the year. Of course things can change that. Mm-hmm. Giants win tough games. Giants win on Sunday, that'll change. And
right, of course, because money will start going to the Giants.
No doubt. But as of right now, very quickly, against the Niners, getting 3. Against the Bears, getting 5.5. Home against the Packers, 4.5. In Detroit, 8.5. At New England, 3. Home against Commanders, 4.5. Home against Minnesota, 2.5. In Las Vegas, 2.5. Home against the Cowboys, 1.5. So you hear those numbers are very close. So obviously that can change, but yes, according to the look-ahead lines, the New York Football Giants are underdogs in every single game. But yes, I think it will change. Anyhow,
Vegas is the interesting one.
The Vegas one, yeah,
really,
and the Minnesota one.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're home against the Vikings. Yeah, who the heck is their quarterback?
They're 3-4. Yeah, JJ's probably back, but Vegas.
Yeah, I got you. Vegas ain't good. Yeah. Anyhow, it's time for a Cinco. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. So, in my opinion, this is the best time of year for sports. We have football, we have baseball, we have basketball, we have hockey, and mm-hmm. we have it all this weekend. So, I'm going to give you the top five games on the New York sports fan menu for this weekend. Mm, all right? Nice. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
How about this one for an appetizer? Islanders in Philadelphia. So it's a little appetizer for Giants Philly. The Islanders put up 7 points last night, which is more points than the Jets usually score. And they have the best player in hockey right now, or at least in New York, certainly, Matthew Schaefer.
They're red hot. They've been playing great hockey. They won again last night. So why the heck not? Early start, too. 12:30 on a Saturday afternoon. So you can really enjoy some early afternoon, late brunch hockey.
Here we go.
Number four.
All right, so this is for your Saturday night, 8 p.m. It's World Series game 2. Now, obviously, none of the locals are there, but we discussed this earlier. There's still an angle, I think, for the Yankee fan rooting for the Blue Jays to see Don Mattingly, you know, win a championship. There's an angle for the Met fan to root for the Dodgers because we want to be the ones to knock them off. So even though we're not in the World Series, the Yankees are not in the World Series, Mets aren't in there, there's still an angle for a New York sports fan to get into this.
I think that the World Series needs to be compelling for a couple of games, and then the interest will build. It's like telling a good story. It's a best-of-seven series. If the Dodgers smoke them in Game 1 and Game 2, New York will never get into the World Series.
Right.
But if we get compelling games, mixed results, and we got a 2-2 series Game 5 on Wednesday night, I think people would be fired up.
Here we go.
Number three.
All right, again, this is the top five games on the New York sports fan menu this weekend. Tomorrow at 3:30, Alabama at South Carolina. Now, hear me out. Hear me out.
What?
I think Jet fans, for their own mental health, need to stop watching the Jets and dedicate their football viewing to college, specifically the top quarterbacks in this upcoming draft. Mm. So this game features two of the top quarterback prospects, Ty Simpson and Lenora Sellers. Like, I'm serious, Evan. I think you as Jet fans should just stop watching the Jets. There's no point to it. Pick a college game every Saturday with a top quarterback prospect and watch that game. This game has two of them.
It's actually not a bad idea.
Why would you watch the Jets at this point?
Well, I agree with half of what you said. Mm-hmm. I have already started recording certain college football games for that reason, to do some advanced scouting.
Right.
But you never stop watching a team you love. Like, that's just in my blood. Yeah. Like, even today.
Well, look, they're not mutually exclusive because the college football is on Saturday.
Right.
So you can do both.
They're not. Like, even today, I was walking in to do the show, and Sal looks at me. Looks at me disgustingly. And he's like, You going to the Nets game tonight? Because I'm wearing a Nets sweatshirt. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, if I'm going to go to a game, wouldn't I go to opening night? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't that be the night? And he's like, this show bad. And I'm like,
they had one game.
I said, BT, can you explain to him how fandom works? And even Brandon's like, he's a fan. He wants to see his team play. Like, as bad as the Jets are or the Nets are, like, I don't believe in I'm not going to watch them. Now, I think a lot of people do that, and I'm not condemning them. You can do whatever the heck you want. I don't think you're any lesser of a fan. I'm just speaking for myself. Don't tell me not to watch my team.
Right.
But you are right. I should expand my horizons. We all, as Jet fans, should, and start to scout the college quarterbacks.
Here we go.
Number two.
Knicks Celtics tonight, 7:30 at the Garden, a rematch of the second round this past year, a playoff preview in the minds of myself and Evan. We've already predicted that. A lot of talking, especially from the Celtics side this offseason, plus the Tibbs trade secret stuff. It has a lot of juice tonight for a regular season game.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. All right. Very appealing game tonight.
Friday. Number one.
And, of course, the main event of the weekend. And here's what's on the line in this Giants-Eagles game. This is why they're number one on the top five games on the New York Sports Fan menu this weekend. The last time the Giants... I turned 40 this year. The last time the Giants won a game in Philly, I was in my 20s.
Yeah. 12 years?
Yeah, 2013. Yeah. So that's 12 years. How about this one? The last time the Giants swept the Eagles in a season series, I was in college.
I just retired.
It was 2007.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what that's what Jackson Dart can do on Sunday. Like, that's some heavy stuff here, as the Eagles have dominated the Giants for now, really, decades.
I don't expect that this was a troll, but if this exact same list was made by Sean, there is something in this that's a troll. And I do want to address it.
Which is?
The New Jersey Devils and the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday afternoon. What? The Devils are 6-1. The Avs are undefeated. They're 5-0-3.
You just kind of ignored Jesper Bratt and Jack Hughes when you talked about the best players in New York. I'm just saying.
I actually did not ignore them. So maybe I didn't do a good job of this, but I wanted this to be the people that only have one television.
Yeah, because it is on against the Giants.
It's on against
the Giants.
It's
not great timing.
So all these other games stand alone where there's no competition. So that's kind of how I was building this. It was no disrespect to the Devils, who are the best hockey team locally, for sure.
I mean, shut up.
They're awesome. No, the Devils are awesome. I'll give you a couple of honorable mentions. Again, not because of the basketball team they're facing, but the Nets play Victor Wembanyama on Sunday as well. And he is a spectacle.
What time is that game?
2:00.
Right. The Knicks are 6:00 on Sunday. That's better. But 2:00,
yeah,
Nets. I don't care if 15 Wembys are on the floor. You're not watching that.
That would be cool, though, if there were 15 Wembys.
I wonder how it'll be full, though. It'll be sold out.
Well, the game is in San Antonio.
Oh, it's in San Antonio.
Yeah.
It's not local.
By the way,
that'd be interesting because
they would sell out. And I'll tell you why. Because I've had this conversation with the Nets before years ago, and I'd say, why do you do Sunday afternoon games during the football season? And their answer was, we get huge family crowds. And so now, and I remember I said this long before I had families. Now that I do have a family, they're right. Like, I'd be more likely, not on a football Sunday, but you know what I mean, an afternoon at Madison Square Garden, an afternoon at Barclays Center. You're just more likely to be able to take your family. You know, and
it's Wimby, and he's one of the becoming one of the biggest stars in the league.
Oh, he's box office.
Right.
So when Wimby comes to Brooklyn, which again is not Sunday because that game's on the road, but when he comes to the Garden and comes to Brooklyn, that's going to be one of the hottest tickets in the world.
Because
you want to see this guy play. You definitely want to see him play. Anyhow, good list. I commend you.
Well done, Tommy.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Now, Tiki, give us a player to watch. Sponsored by Dr. J. Schatz, MLP Management, ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and JAG Physical Therapy. Get back the life you love.
The player to watch is going to be the same player to watch almost every week for the New York football Giants. It's Jackson Dart. We got to see him continue to evolve. We actually had this conversation about 3 hours ago. You can rewind on the Odyssey app when I talked about the next step I'm looking for Jackson Dart. We already know he's a good quarterback. He can play in this league. But when is he going to become great? When he's going to become that guy who, despite what happens in games, finds ways to win them? We saw it happen with Pat Mahomes, right? We've seen it happen with a lot of really great quarterbacks over their careers. When does it happen for Jackson Dart? It could be this week. It could be next year. But Jackson Dart is a player to watch because he is so compelling. He's actually going to start pushing the Giants in the prime time, even if they're not good.
We may get a little flex action.
I'm just telling you, because he's watchable.
Nah, he is. He's been outstanding. He really has. 888-808-1019. Marty is in Westchester. What's up, Marty?
Yes, good afternoon. Great show, as always. As far as the Giants are concerned, What would be their plan of attack offensively against the Eagles on Sunday? I know Tiki mentioned the defensive side of the ball
right
about an hour ago, but offensively,
I don't think they're going to change much from now until the rest of the season. They're going to try to run the ball between the tackles, and every now and then they're doing some stuff on the edges. But it's really just finding easy throws for Jackson Dart, and then letting him create as he likes to create when things break down. I mean. I think Mike Kafka has done a good job doing exactly what you just said, Marty, getting the tight ends involved. Because nobody thinks about the Giants tight ends as good of players as they actually are. I think Belly's a good receiver. Theo Johnson's, he's still got work to do, obviously, but I think they have a chance to be a really good duo at tight end.
I definitely think so. I'm impressed by their pass catching abilities, especially with Malik Neighbors being out for the season.
Right.
I don't have any other option,
Marty. Appreciate you calling.
I mean, that's the other thing.
Who else are you throwing the ball to?
Yeah. Well, Darius Slayton is coming back this week.
Yeah. He's now replacing Jalen Hyatt's few deep routes.
I mean, Jalen Hyatt did nothing. Yeah. He has been.
You want him?
Do I want him?
Trade.
Well, no, not Jet. Trade for him. I would take him. Like, if you're just handing him to me.
Free trade.
Have you seen the Jets wide receiver room?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what?
I will trade.
I will trade from you. Ready? I'm going to actually give you something back.
What's that?
Alan Lazard.
No, thank you.
Alan Lazard for Jalen Hyatt. Done. Alan Lazard, to borrow a phrase.
At least he's a vet.
He's a vet. He commits more dumb penalties than actual big catches.
That's a good point.
Like, you could tell me he's a vet. The results aren't there. Yeah, I think Jalen Hyatt is one of those guys. We're on another team, like the Jets. I would say, or you would say, you know what? Young player, new opportunity, change of scenery. Let's go.
Yeah, he's classic change of scenery guy.
But with the team whose scenery has already had him, his time is up. Abe is on Long Island. What's up, Abe? Hey, Abe.
Abe, what's up?
Abe going once. Abe is gone. We'll go to Mo in Brooklyn. What's up, Mo?
What's happening, gentlemen? Yo. Great show as always.
Yo.
Thank you.
Evan, I have a little question for you at the end of my comment here, but I just want to get your opinion on something. But my concern is with the gambling going on. I know we had a little taste of this, but if it's involving the players, how long do you think before we see a major scam with officials in one sport? How easy is that to do?
Yeah,
you know,
that's the scary one. I would look at it this way, right? So the scandal we have right now involves player props because, like we've talked about, it is so easy to control that.
Right.
This is the Rozier. This is the Terry Rozier situation, and even Jontae Porter. I mean, he's banned for life.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is Michael Porter's brother.
Right.
What would you manipulating a ref try to do? Would it be to fix a game? Would it be to get the money line to go the right way? Would it be to make sure you get an over in a basketball game? Like, what are you trying to do if you're the corrupt gamblers in this take? And, I mean, the long story is that is scary for every sport. Right. Like, once you get an official involved, an umpire involved, I think that's the kind of scandal that would actually damage the sport more than even what's being accused of Terry Rozier. Because now you're talking about impacting results of a game with the officials who are supposed to be the arbiters of peace and justice.
Which is worse than a player just manipulating his individual stats, even though it indirectly affects the game.
There are levels to this.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not...
they're both bad.
Everything here is bad, but there are certain levels.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pulls to the badness. So, for example, yesterday we were talking about one of the things being accused of is the sharing of information. that Damon Jones was sharing information about the health of L.A. Laker players.
Yeah. Problem is he was wrong on multiple occasions.
Yes, he was. And there's also an accusation. I don't know if it's Chauncey Billups because his name isn't mentioned, but someone on the Blazers coaching staff was sharing information about their tanking. That's bad. But it doesn't affect the integrity of the games we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exonerating it. I'm not saying it's no big deal. Obviously, it's bad when it comes to information being shared and the integrity of gambling. But in terms of the actual sport, like that Blazer game wasn't impacted by that.
Right.
So that's level one. Level two is Terry Rozier. Like he affected his player prop by exiting a game.
Right.
The next tier is when you've got players or officials purposely losing. Mm. That is Joe Jackson. That is the White Sox. That's the worst. That is the ultimate in ultimate betrayals.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that these other things aren't bad and they aren't scandals. They're all scandals. But that is the fear, the ultimate fear of what could bring sport down to its knees. It killed baseball. And the only reason baseball survived it was Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, like that sport was dead after the Black Sox scandal. And you can't just expect a generational player to save you from your sport losing all integrity. So I look at this and say there are levels to it.
Yeah.
An official, changing the result of a game is pretty high up on that level chart.
I think you're right.
Billy is calling from Merrick. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All's good.
Being a miserable Jets fan like I am, I like to torture myself. And, a lot of people want to complain about, the Jets went downhill from drafting Zach Wilson or from Sam Darnold, but have you actually looked back at the 2020 draft and the first two rounds?
It was like freaking horrendous. Mekhi Becton, like, Denzel Mims, it's actually atrocious. Yeah.
But did you see the players drafted after these guys? They are franchise changing players.
Yeah.
So it just blows my mind that they're missing out on all these big time players here. After year, after year.
So you're saying that is what has been the demise of the New York Jets?
It is. I think
it contributes to it. I think when you suck, as bad as the Jets suck, there's like a laundry list of things that lead to how bad they are. The 2020 draft was atrocious, and I'm not defending it, but missing out on your quarterback multiple times is a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And they missed out on it twice. Here's how. Three times, actually. Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers protection,
right,
and Aaron Rodgers. Three different times, they were completely whiffed on the quarterback situation. Zach Wilson never developed. They go sign Aaron Rodgers, great. They had no suitable backup to where it turned out to be Zach Wilson again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Rodgers, it didn't work for a myriad of reasons. And so I do think that sometimes the right answer is the simple answer. And whiffing at the quarterback position and whiffing at the coaching spot.
Right.
Dude, how do you overcome that?
It's hard. Especially if you miss at the quarterback, especially when you take them that high, it's almost impossible to recover from unless you have a really good backup who is okay and can play and win you some games. That's why you go get a Tyrod Taylor if you're drafting a young quarterback. The Jets just didn't do it. They mismanaged the whole thing. And then it went from bad to worse when you try to bring in Aaron Rodgers as your savior and he gets hurt. Good idea. It just didn't work because of the injury that happened to him immediately.
And you know what also adds to that? So Joe Douglas's GMing wasn't like horrendous.
No, actually evaluated as pretty good from a GM perspective.
He was, except there are three things about football that are very important.
Yeah.
Your quarterback, your head coach, and your left tackle.
Yeah.
Now think about what Joe Douglas did at those spots. He drafted Mekhi Becton in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Disaster. And even last year, they bring in a washed-up left tackle in Tyron Smith and say, oh, you got it.
Right.
So they botched left tackle, the quarterbacks we just went over, and he got it wrong on Robert Saleh.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are three bad misses. And they still almost wanted to give him the job because he was actually really good at drafting.
But those misses are really important.
They're egregious.
Yeah.
Because they're the most important ones.
Of course. NFL picks for this upcoming Sunday. And I got to tell you, things have gotten tight now. Tiki Barber is in first place at 22-18, and I'm in last place. We're only separated by 3.5 games. So first place to last place is tight. Last night, Tiki and Lugie both took losses. Sean and I both took wins because we picked the Chargers. They picked the Minnesota Vikings. So currently, Tiki Barber, 22-18. Tommy Lugauer, 21-19. Sean Morash, 19-21. And I'm 18-21-1. Those are our records. Mm-hmm. And our picks are presented by the Cash App. You may have noticed that Sean Morash thought it was a good idea to take off on a Football Friday. Well, he did. But to his credit, he supplied his NFL pick. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you thought you were going to go the whole day without hearing Sean Morash, you're wrong.
All right, boys, I'm red hot, which means Evan can sit there in last place and rot. Starting my first game of the day, the non-local game of the day, it's Mike Vrabel's world, it's Drake May's world, we're all living in it. Patriots laying the touchdown at home versus the Cleveland Browns. Look, this is a Browns team that's hung in there enough defensively, but the Pats are for real. Patriots cover, game number one. Game number two, the New York Jets and the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. I have a simple philosophy. And no, it's not follow Lugie, who's always right on the Jets. It's bet against the Jets now. Until proven otherwise, I'm out. The Joe Flacco Bengals and the stories that will be written about how little Joe Flacco did as a Jet, that continues. Give me the Bengals to cover. And the main event, the second Giant Eagle game in 3 weeks. I promise you this. Bet on this. I will not cry one way or another following the outcome of this game. But the two scariest words in sports exist in this matchup. Tay Banks. It worries me to no end that this guy is going to be running around playing the majority of snaps at corner. But the Giants counteract that with Jackson Dart. Am I expecting a win Sunday? I don't know what the hell I'm expecting. But I do expect the Giants, even with their defensive deficiencies, to keep this close enough. Give me the Giants to cover game number three.
Wow. Sean Morash has picked against the Giants three consecutive weeks. That is the first time he is actually picking the Giants since all the way back in week four. How about that? Mm. So there you go. His picks are the Patriots, the Bengals, and the Giants. Tommy Lugauer.
Game number one for me. I went after this team last week. I'm going after them again because I think that they're broken. Their head coach is going to be fired. It's just a matter of time. They can't stop the run, and they have a brutal matchup this week. So I'm going after the Dolphins. I'm going to lay the 7.5 with the Falcons at home. I think that rushing attack is just going to be way too much for Miami to handle. Falcons defense, especially at home, plays really well. Remember, they beat the Bills a couple weeks ago at home. They're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team, but I'll take them 7.5. The Falcons laying it against the Dolphins at home. That's game number one for me. Game number two, Sean alluded to it. I am undefeated. The only person on the show undefeated in picking Jet games this year. I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. Nobody knows who the quarterback's going to be for the Jets. It doesn't matter. You can't take the Jets at this point. They have given you nothing. It doesn't matter who's under center to give you any kind of confidence. The Bengals looked rejuvenated with Joe Flacco under center. Now, the gambler in me would actually fade the Bengals this week if they were playing any other team outside of the Jets. I think they just have a field day. No Sauce, no Garrett Wilson for the Jets. Give me the Bengals. They are laying the 6.5. Game number three, the main event. I have the same feel that I had last week with the Giants when I took them. I said they'd keep it close. They wouldn't win the game. I feel the same way this week. Too many injuries in the secondary. Now, listen, no A.J. Brown for the Eagles is big, and I think that counteracts a little bit, but with Adebo out, with Holland out, if Tay Banks is in the secondary, it could get ugly, but I believe that Dart Scatterbull will keep this game close. Eagles win, Giants cover, give me the Giants plus. I see 7 right now, but I'm cool with 7.5, but they'll cover the number either way. Give me the Giants to cover plus 7 in my third game.
Tiki Barber, the floor is...
I don't even need to discuss the Jets. Give me the Bengals laying 6.5. They're winning by much more than a touchdown. I'm surprised the line is actually that small.
Yeah.
Given how little they have scored, especially the last 2 weeks. It's just, whatever.
Well, I put it this in perspective. The Bengals are favored by less at home against the Jets than the Eagles are against the Giants.
Yes.
On that on the surface just does not compute.
I agree. Something's wrong with Vegas right now. Now, here's one that I don't really understand. Because the Houston Texans, while coming into the season, we thought they were going to be a really good team. They have struggled mightily this season. And they are favorites. I know they're at home, They're favorites against the San Francisco 49ers, who, even though they've been without Brock Purdy, Mac Jones has been pretty damn good. And instead, especially because Christian McCaffrey has been balling. He's healthy and looks fantastic. So I like the 49ers, even though they're getting 2 points and they're on the 2.5 on the road. Give me the 49ers plus 2.5 on the road against a very struggle bus right now, Houston Texans. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the road also against the New Orleans Saints. The Saints, let's face it, got lucky against the one win that they had this year. That was against my New York Giants, because of 5 turnovers. When you win the turnover battle by plus 5, you better win. And they barely did it at that. I like the Buccaneers here, even though they're coming off a loss, laying 5.5 on the road, because I think they are going to run away from the New Orleans Saints, who are not a good team right now. I think they're well coached, and Kellen Moore will be on his way at some point, but they just don't have the horses to compete with a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So give me the Buccaneers laying 4.5. Give me the San Francisco 49ers plus getting 2.5 on the road, and then whoever's playing the Jets.
Whoever's playing the Jets. All right, game number one for me. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys getting 3.5 in Denver against the Broncos. I think that it has just been repeated over and over again. The Cowboys stink. The Cowboys aren't any good. The Cowboys are bad. Yeah, they got issues. They are not perfect.
That's not true, though.
But it's not true.
Right.
They score as many points as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw last week against this vaunted Bronco defense is that Jackson Dart and the Giant offense was able to crack the code. I expect the Dallas Cowboys to go to the Mile High City and put some points on the board. And what I wonder about on the other side of the ball is how good that offense is. I mean, it took a miracle fourth quarter comeback before they awoke from their slumber. So I'm not saying the Cowboys are going to shut them out for 3.5 quarters. I don't expect that. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. But, hey, I'm getting points. I'm getting 3.5. And I think the Cowboys are going to win this game outright. I think this is going to be the day where America finally admits, maybe the Cowboys don't suck the way we repeat over and over again. So game number one, give me the Cowboys getting the 3.5 in Denver against the Broncos. Game number two. Look, I would love to sit here and bet against all of you guys with the Jets and say, this is the week. I'm getting 6.5. This defense has played great the last 2 weeks. They got to hold Joe Flacco down. They got to force a few interceptions. And while that part may all be true, they may force a few turnovers. God knows they're due. They've only forced one this entire year. And yes, their defense has played well. They're going to be tested without Sauce Gardner. It sucks. It helps that Quincy's coming back, but they're still without their best corner. But more than that, this offense is broken. Garrett Wilson isn't walking through that door. Their offensive line is underwhelmed. I don't know who the quarterback is. So I think you'd almost have to be delusional right now to pick anything but the Bengals laying the 6.5. And finally, game number three. I get it. I understand it. The Giants B-slapped the Eagles 2 weeks ago. And the Eagles are getting hit by injuries. No question about it. I just can't see the New York Giants going to Philadelphia after destroying them 2 weeks ago and having a good performance. Like, I don't think this will be close. I think it'll be close for like 1.5 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually Saquon Barkley is going to have like that breakout game of 2025. This comes down to pure emotion. Logically, the really good football team playing the up-and-coming team twice in 3 weeks, to me, points directly at the team that's more talented. So I'm going to disagree with Tommy and Sean, and even though you didn't make a pick, I'm going to disagree with Tiki because I know how you feel. I'm going to take the Eagles laying the 7.5 at home against the New York Giants. So for me, Dallas, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia are picks for Week 8 in the NFL. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How many New Yorkers, New Jerseyers, Giant fans are making the trip? It is an easy trip.
It is.
It is a quick trip.
Not going to be horrible. 45, something like that. 50.
Depends where you're coming from.
No. I'm talking about weather.
Weather, mid-50s.
Yeah.
Weather.
It's going to be a relatively nice day. I don't know.
Giant fans don't travel to Philly, though, bro.
I think that's the issue.
That is the issue.
They'll go for the Knicks. Because the 76er fan doesn't even like the 76ers. So.
Right.
I don't think they'll go for this one.
They're not. And I find it fascinating because, and I always get lectured by Giant fans. They'll call in and be like, Evan, you don't understand. They're animals. They're rough. They're this. They're that. And I always counter with, I went to Nets 76ers. Mm-hmm. I went to Knicks 76ers. I went to Mets Phillies. And obviously that pales in comparison to Giants Eagles. Though I did go to a Mets Phillies playoff game, and it was rough. Like, I have to admit, that was a rough scene. So I understand it's a rough scene, but it's also a Sunday at 1 o'clock. How bad can it be?
Right.
Can't be that bad.
Yeah, it can. They're bad, especially because they're still good.
Yes,
like we talk about the Eagles, like they've fallen off of their pedestal, but they're still sitting atop the division, sitting at 5-2. The next number of closest wins is 3.
Yeah,
and that's the Cowboys with 3-3-1. Right, and so they're still the best team in the division until something happens that knocks them off, and maybe that's losing to the Giants again.
That would be
right now. They're a good team, and the fan, despite some of the struggles over the last couple of weeks in Philly, still believes that they're the defending champions. So they are still that until they are knocked off that pedestal in the division and then elsewhere. Right now, there are not a ton of dominant teams in the NFC.
I am on the Eagles Ticketmaster website just to get an idea. Like, what's the get-in price for Giants-Eagles Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia?
And?
What do you think the get-in price is? Just to get in... You get a ticket all the way upstairs in the corner.
130.
130 is your guess. Yeah. You were not even close.
Really?
The get-in price is $270.
Wow. Yeah, no, they're not going.
That's expensive.
That is very expensive.
And that's, and I'm looking at like a ticket that's decent, upper level, 50-yard line, not all the way at the top, right, but middle of the upper deck, $380 a ticket. So to sit in like a halfway decent seat is crazy expensive.
Yeah.
All right, I get it. That's expensive.
Nope. It's all good. We'll watch it from home.
Yeah, watch it at home. It's safer and cheaper.
Yes.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Chris in Middleton. What's up, Chris? Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, listen, 24 unfortunate years ago, I was born a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I want to know, what do you guys do you think by the time I'm 40 – maybe we make the playoffs.
How old are you now again? Let me do the math.
24.
So 16 years.
Definitely. I mean, you have to. It has to happen. That has. There's no way the Jets are going to go 30 years. Because that's what that would be now.
That's what he's asking. It would be a 30-year playoff drought. Well, my aunt sent me a text message. And unfortunately, it's not football, but it was ChatGPT predicting the next 50 World Series champions. Mm-hmm. And according to ChatGPT, we got the Mets winning a World Series in 2038. So that is 13 years from now?
Yeah.
So that guy would not quite be 40, and at least you get a Met World Series.
Right.
The Jets are going to accidentally make the playoffs. And by the way, that is probably the most depressing thing about the
Jets.
You mean
like a sub-500 make the playoffs?
No, like an accidental 10-win year. Mm. Like sometimes it just happened out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, look at the Giants. And I don't mean to put you guys down, but hear me out on this. Since Tom Coughlin left or was removed, however you want to define it, it's been a rough time.
Of course.
It's been a decade of not goodness.
Right. 2 playoffs?
But that's the point.
Yeah.
In that time, you've had some what I like to call accidental success. Ben McAdoo, you win 11 games.
Yeah.
Even Brian Daboll, year one, for now, accidental success.
Right.
The Jets haven't even had accidental success. Like the, oh crap, how did we win 9 games out of nowhere? They have had been terrible basically
so
this
you're
entire
saying
run.
It's got to happen at some point.
Well, what I'm
the
saying,
accidental success happens to everybody.
That's what makes the Jet run of failure so pathetic. Like, they don't even have accidental success.
Yeah, no, that's bad. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And if you're interested in the Champions League, they also have the Champions League.
I just did ChatGPT predicting the next 50 Super Bowls. Are you ready? So at least we can get a Jets Super Bowl. The next Jets Super Bowl. This is unbelievable.
I'm flying cars by then.
First of all, Beningo's dead. I mean, I'll just
well,
start
wait
with...
a second. Wait a minute.
Wait, no. I'm going to tell you the year.
He eats healthy. He runs.
Joe would literally have to be in triple digits to be alive for this. The next Jets Super Bowl, according to ChatGPT, is 2071.
Oh, God.
I don't think I'll be alive.
2071.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd be 88. You want me to tell you the Giants?
Go ahead.
Are you nervous?
No.
The next Giants.
2036?
It's not good. I'm just going to tell you. 2048.
That's not horrible.
Not horrible? That's 23 years from now.
All right.
I mean, you're right. It won't be as long of a drought as the Knicks and the Mets and the Rangers, but still, it's
how
crazy.
How is it even doing that?
It's just ChatGPT.
Yeah, which is, here's the problem with AI and things like this, these large language models. What is that basing that off of?
Well,
and so the fact that it tries to answer that question is idiotic. Because a rational person, the world we live in, would say that is unknowable.
Of course it's unknowable.
So the fact that it tries to answer it is the problem with these models.
Can I defend them for 1 second?
You can try.
Their next 5 Super Bowls, which is the recent future,
yeah,
doesn't feel crazy. Can I give them to you?
Go ahead.
The San Francisco 49ers this year. It's not, I mean, look, okay, they're not the favorites, but could it happen? Sure. Yeah,
look, everybody in the West is 5-2 except for Arizona.
Next year, the Bengals.
Because Joe Burrow.
Year after that, the Bills.
Okay.
Year after that, the Lions.
I could see that.
Year after that, the Ravens.
Maybe the Lions 4 years from now is not actually.
Yeah, because how old's Jared Goff at that point?
Yeah.
2031, the Bills. 2032, the Cowboys. Like, that part's not crazy.
No. But who's the Cowboys quarterback?
I mean
Dak Prescott's 32, 3 right now. And so that's 6 years from now, so he's going to be 40 years old?
You will like the ChatGPT World Series predictions because you know who it has winning this year?
Who?
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know how?
Of course.
You know who it has winning next year?
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
2027.
The Dodgers.
The Orioles.
Oh, no.
Why not?
No.
They got a lot of talent. No.
They got to hold it together.
2028, the Texas Rangers. And are you ready for this one? 2029. Close your ears, Tommy.
The Yankees.
Yankees are winning a World Series.
That's 4 years. So
2029.
So Judge will be
38.
Yeah. It's like the end of the road for
one, gets one right before it's over.
Yeah. Like all the young Yankees are carrying Aaron Judge to the finish line. That's a rough one. Would you sign for that, a Met World Series in 2038? At least you have an idea. You'll see it before you're dead.
13 years from now? I could live with that. Yeah, I'll be in my early 50s. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
It's not bad because when you think about it this way, 2038. So for me, I will be, how many years from now was that, 13? So I'm 55.
Yeah.
My oldest son is 21. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's great.
My youngest son is 17. It's like, okay, that's not bad. Here's my concern. Mm. And he's probably listening right now, and he knows where this is going. How about my dad? Like,
is he going to make it?
Well, we also have to make it. It's no guarantee we're alive in 13 years. We have to make it.
I understand. But you're right. I'm just saying in general.
Also, your old man has seen 2 championships.
So that's it for him?
Mm. Well, but hold on a second.
Well, that's not fair.
Okay, that's selfish of him to want a third one.
Yeah, but don't you think he wants to see one with his son and his grandkids? Like, don't you think that also changes things?
With his great, anything else I could get you, Uncle Lewis? What about his great-grandkids while we're at it? He's seen 2.
And more so his son. He taught me baseball. Well, don't think he wants to win a World Series with me?
I'm sure
you're teaching your kids.
Exactly.
That's true, but then he gets skipped.
Well, what do you mean?
Because he got one when I was 2 years old. It doesn't count.
I don't want to get morbid, but you know, you could keep the ashes of your grandma. You keep the ashes up while you're watching the game, so he's watching it.
That's
with
true.
You.
I probably would.
You selfish Roberts. You haven't seen one championship. You want to give your father 4 more?
I'd like to do better than 2038.
I'd like to do better.
I mean, I'm being honest.
Wait, you wouldn't sign for 2038?
No, he wants
right now.
He wants next year.
I think if you told me, in all seriousness,
because 2038 means that Juan Soto's not a part of it.
Hold on, we got to do some math on that. It's a 15-year contract.
Yeah, but
so you're wrong. It's at the there.
It's his last season, right?
Okay.
He also has an opt out after five. I don't want to.
Oh, so you think he's gone? So
Or he's washed. Like, I'm done. I don't care anymore.
Honestly,
I've made almost all of this $800 million.
I think if you told me the Jets and the Nets specifically, two teams that are so far away from winning and feel like it may never happen, if you told me either one of those teams was winning in 2038, I'd sign for it. Mm. Because right now with those two teams, I think it's on the table. They never, ever, ever win.
Right.
So if you gave me one of those in 38, I'd probably say, you know what? I'll take it.
Right.
The Mets are owned by a billionaire. They have a lot of talent. They should be in the mix every single year. You're telling me I'm going to sit there for 13 more years and watch either playoff failures or regular season failures? No, I'm not signing up for that.
What if they're the Yankees over the last 13 years where, yeah, like you said, they're a really good team. They win 90 games.
I got to get one.
You are getting one.
No, but I'm not getting one in the next 13 years outside of them because I'm assuming I'm not getting it from my other teams. So I could not sign
up. So
what
is the Evan Roberts, Steve Cohen window here to win a championship in your mind? 5 years?
Well,
like if they don't win one in the next 5 years?
I'm going to do what? Leave?
No, I know you're not going to leave, but you know what I mean. Like, what do you project them? Do you project them winning something in the next 5 years?
I don't have a projection of them. I don't have a projection of them winning anything. I'm just saying I wouldn't sign for waiting 13 more years when two of the other teams that I really love have no shot to do it over that time. That's all I'm saying.
The Jets have a shot to do it.
The Jets have no shot.
If they get a quarterback, the Nets have no shot. That's great.
Those two franchises are garbage and have no chance of winning.
Tell me Danny Wolf is the Joker. Now they have no shot of winning.
I didn't say he was the Joker. I said he has a better chance of being the Joker.
The Jets get a quarterback. They can win a Super Bowl.
Let me finish. I said he has a better chance of being the Joker than Justin Fields has of being Patrick Mahomes, which I'm still
about.
Which
is very different.
You're very different. Let's go to Zach in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, honestly, 2038, I wouldn't sign for with the Mets. I would like one much sooner than that.
Exactly.
2038, I mean, I'd be 38, so no chance. First off, I agree with Tiki. Soto's not here in 2038. But for what I really called for, my solution to the basketball scandal, stop watching. Go watch hockey.
Nice one. That was your troll.
That's a nice one. Especially the Devils.
And the Islanders.
And the Islanders.
Just not the Rangers because they're bad.
Yes. I told you they'd score 4 goals last night.
You didn't. Well, they actually scored 5.
They scored 5.
And then they lost anyway.
They gave up 6. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next on SNY. Thank you for joining us as always. Brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Evan is calling from Sparta. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's up,
pleasure to be on. I'm a big Giants fan. Tiki, it's so good to finally be excited about Sundays again and
I agree.
Forward to these games. We're gonna beat the beat the Eagles this weekend. I'm a big Penn State fan, so I was really happy when Abdul Carter got drafted there.
Right.
And I love what Dart and Scataboo are doing. But there's a missing piece, man.
Go ahead.
I'm not a big Shane Bowen fan.
Oh,
I think we all realize. Yeah, I mean, he blew the game for us, man. I know Dart shouldn't have thrown the pass and everything like that, but these schemes are really basic, man. So my question to you is, do we let the guy go midseason?
No,
do we wait till the offseason?
So here's
imagine if we had Spags.
Imagine if we had Spags. That's the problem. What is Spags walking through the door?
Who's walking through that door in the middle of the season?
Exactly. Who's going to be so significantly better? So the Giants' defense has started to get better. I'm talking just statistically. They got one of the top, they got where is Brian Burns in sacks right now? I know he's got 9. I don't know where he is as far as league leaders are going, but they have 14 as a team. But like their team has gotten better over the last few weeks, and even you know yards per game and third downs. They moved into the middle of the road. So he's a good defensive coordinator. It's those end-of-game situations that kill you because those decisions are the ones that frustrate you and they're costing you games. And so, like, it's like a little thing, and I want to believe it's fixable. I'm as frustrated as anybody with Shane Bowen and this defense, but he's also done some good things. So you got to give him credit for the good but also criticize him for the bad.
Do you know if you've ever faced the same team twice in 3 weeks?
I do not.
I looked it up.
And? Is it not?
Not really.
No.
So
there's a bye week in there?
This stretch is 17 days between games, right?
Yes.
And there's one game in between it. The closest I could come up with for you was November 23rd and December 13th, 20 days. So not that big of a difference.
No, but.
But you play two games in between as opposed to just one game in between. This was 1997. Can you tell me the opponent and the results for bonus points?
No, what week was it?
November 23rd. I got to go back.
November?
Yeah, it was November 23rd.
I don't think I was playing.
You did play in both games.
But I was hurt.
Oh.
Because I got hurt like week five.
Okay.
So November 20-something is week eight.
Mm-hmm.
So I played, but I wasn't really playing.
Let me get your exact statistics from that game. The opponents, the Washington, then Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
So these are your first two games against a team you did not love.
Right. How many carries did I have? Like three?
In the first game, 6 carries for 23 yards.
That's not bad.
You guys finished in a 7-7 tie.
Yes.
Do you remember that game?
Yeah, of course.
7-7 tie.
Because we didn't lose in the division. So I know we beat them the second time.
You did.
Because we didn't lose in the division. We just had a tie.
You beat them 30-10 in the second game.
Yeah.
13 carries, 32 yards. How about that?
Yeah.
That's the only example I could come up with, which shows you how rare this little sequence is.
Right.
Where the Giants are playing the Eagles twice in 3 weeks, which I have to tell you is very stupid. I do not like it from a scheduling standpoint.
It doesn't make sense unless they thought, when they were scheduling, that these games were going to be insignificant, meaning the Eagles are just going to roll through it, and so it doesn't matter. Because you got to remember that the league, as of late, has been pushing important division games to the end.
Well, to me, the way I would function divisional schedules is you play your division rivals in the first 5 weeks of the season
and in
the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So the middle of the season to me would be all the other games, and I would try. I know it's not maybe possible to pull this off.
Right.
Though it actually is when you really think about it.
It is. It's just too many variables when you think about like who you have to play because of how you finish.
Right.
That's what makes it hard.
But that's how I would do it. Like, right. Having them play twice in 3 weeks is dopey.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.